Open your Bibles, God's Word, to Matthew chapter 25. We'll be looking at verses 31 to 46 today. All right, so we are actually in the final section of a two-chapter section called, sometimes called the Olivet Discourse. Back in chapter 24, verse 3, some of Jesus' disciples asked him, "When will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And they were probably thinking that he would say something about, well, like maybe in 3 weeks from now, I'm going to come from that area, and all the angels are going to come from that area, and a throne's going to come down. And they were probably hoping right then that things were going to happen, and things were going to be made right on this earth, finally. Well, he had quite an answer for them, probably one they were not looking, thinking about. He talked about a time where there will be false Christs and false prophets. He says there's many now, but there will be many more. At this time, there'll be wars, famines, and great earthquakes. There will be a great persecution. There's a lot of persecution now, but there will be even more worldwide persecution. He said, what I'm speaking about is the same thing Daniel spoke of, the prophet. And he said, go back and look at that. And Daniel spoke of some specific things there. He actually said there's going to be a time of great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. He said there will be one great time of great tribulation. That doesn't mean people aren't going through tribulation now, but there will be a specific great tribulation time, and that's what he's talking about here. And that corresponds, he said, with Daniel as well. He said the day and the hour that the Son of Man comes back, nobody knows. He actually said that four times, the day and hour, nobody knows. He alluded to it five or six times in this passage. So, what day and hour is he coming back, everybody? There you go. Nobody knows. So, if anyone tells you the day and hour, you can say, I don't think so. And then be on the alert also, because no one knows. He also gave some parables. The wise slave who was ready for the return of his master. 10 virgins, 5 of them were ready for the groom to come. The servants, 3 of them, 2 of them are ready for the return of their master. And that brings us to chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. And this will be the last section in this Olivet Discourse. All right, Tim already prayed. Amen to that. And let's get right into this. Verse 31 says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left." Finally, Jesus is finally getting to the point that the disciples probably were hoping for. They asked him, when will these things happen? What will be the sign? They probably were hoping for a grand entrance from heaven, you know, down here, or angels, or light, and a majestic throne. Well, he says that time is coming, and it will come before then. There will be this time of great tribulation that we've been talking about, that he's been talking about here. But then, after that time, then the Son of Man will come. And this time, he will come in his glory. Notice the word he uses, and it's really interesting to think here. Who is the person saying these words to the disciples? It's him. He's talking about himself, right? But he's talking just as a man, a humble man, sitting and talking to his friends. He's saying, yeah, guys, so by the way, one day I will come, and all the angels will be with me, and I will be in full glory. And I will sit on the throne of majesty. And I will be the king of Israel. I will be the king of this earth and the king of the universe. And everybody will know it. I will come in power at that time. And it's the guy sitting there talking to him. is the one that's going to be coming. I find that fascinating. He calls himself the Son of Man. The book of Matthew really focuses on Jesus being the king, the rightful king of Israel, the rightful king of everything. But yet, what's the term that Jesus likes to use for himself? The Son of Man. This will be a king. No one will argue that. This will be the powerful King of Kings. It'll be obvious at that point to everyone. Maybe the amazing thing at that point is that he's actually a human. And he was here earlier. And he's simply a Son of Man. Kind of like one of us, but different also. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels will be with him. How many angels is that? That's a lot. This is going to be a pretty amazing moment in time, isn't it? He's going to come in his glory and all the angels with him, and he's going to come and sit on his glorious throne, that he rightfully should be on. You know what? When he comes, he is the king of the universe. He's the creator and sustainer of everything. It is right for him to come. And although it'll be an amazing moment in time, at the same time, I think it'll be right. Everyone will be, this is right. This is what should happen. This is the King of all kings. He should have always been sitting on a throne. He should have always been in charge of everything. This is right. This is a good thing. This is proper. You know, it's actually his first coming that maybe, I'm not going to say it wasn't right, but it's different, isn't it? At his first coming, he was humble. He came as a baby, a little baby, born in Bethlehem. Had to run from people with his family. Kind of poor, not a lot of money. Carpenter's son. He lived a humble life. Perfect life, too. And then eventually, he let people do things to him. And eventually, they killed him, putting him on a cross. That actually should seem odd to us, you know. He should have been king. Everything should have been for him, and yet he came and humbled himself and lived the first time. All right? And as he talks to these guys here, telling them this, he knows just a few days from then, he will allow people to kill him and hang him on a cross, where he will die for the sins of the world. That's the King of all kings. He came the first time in great humility, an example of humility for us. The second time, what we sometimes call the second coming, this time the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels with him, and he sits on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So shepherds sometimes... I don't know this personally, but I guess it's often sheep and goats are together. When they move them from one place to another, they'll move them together. But when they get to the place and they're going to feed or they're going to sleep or something, they need to separate them. Because sheep are docile and nice, and goats are not, I guess. So you have to separate them. They do everything differently. So you got to separate them out. And he said, that's what I'm going to do. He will put the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. Anytime a judge or a king in the Bible puts someone on their right, that would be the place of blessing, and the left would not be the place of blessing. This is a judgment, and at the end of this judgment, we're going to see people are going to go into eternal life or eternal punishment. What does the Bible say about judgments? Well, there seems to be three big judgments that are going to happen in the future. One of them called the judgment seat of Christ, and it's talked about in 2 Corinthians here. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive compensation for his deeds done through the body in accordance with what he has done, whether good or bad. This seems to be a judgment for Christians only, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might think of this as the reward seat of Christ, where people are judged according to what they did. But the people at this judgment, they will go into eternal life, which is great. But some of them, as through fire, their works will be tested at that point in time. And some will get more rewards than others. There's happiness. There might be some sadness there, too. But this is for believers. William MacDonald says, This is a time of review and reward for believers only, and it takes place after the rapture. Then there's the judgment of the nations, which is what we're talking about today, and we're going to learn about that today, also called the sheep and the goats. Then there's the great white throne judgment. And Revelations chapter 20, we read, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled, and no place was found for them. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." William MacDonald says this takes place in eternity after the millennium. Here the wicked dead will be judged and consigned to the lake of fire. That judgment seems to be for those who did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not love God, and so books will be opened, their deeds will be looked at, but none of them will be good enough, and they will be thrown into the lake of fire. Three judgments here: the judgment seat of Christ for Christians sometimes after the rapture, the great white throne for everyone else. Those who are dead will come back alive and be judged then, and the lake of fire. The judgment of the nations, or the sheep and the goats, is what we're looking at today, somewhere in between. When will it happen? Well, according to what Jesus said, there's going to be a time of great tribulation. Daniel gives us more evidence, and Jesus is the one that said, Daniel corresponds to this, and he talked about 7 years. That corresponds also with a 7 year, 2 3.5 year periods in Revelation. So we know quite a bit about what's going on there, a time of great tribulation on the earth. And he says, then the Son of Man comes. So it must be after the 7 years, and he's coming down to set up his kingdom on this earth, the fulfillment of the prophets that talked about that. Verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Notice here, then the who? The king. What did he say before? The Son of Man. He called himself the Son of Man before. He's a human like us, but he also happens to be the king. Not a king, not a good king, but the king. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father." Who are these people? They are the blessed of the Father. God the Father, they have been blessed by him. They are going to inherit the kingdom. Inherit. How do you get an inheritance? Well, to get an inheritance, you need to be part of a family, right? A family. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you. These people somehow were in the family. Okay? And who's the Father? Well, he just mentioned those who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom. These seem to be people that are in the family of God. How do you get blessed by the Father and be in the family of God? Well, the Bible tells us a lot of other things, that we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sin has separated us from God. Although we should be his children, we're not because of our sin. But if we believe in Jesus Christ, that he truly died on the cross for our sins and rose again, if we believe that, if we accept that, ask God to forgive us, we can be in his family. We can become children of God. Who are these people? They must be people who believed. They're part of the family of God. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This kingdom, who is it prepared for? For them. Those that would believe in him. Verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." So there's a group on his right, and they are blessed. "Come, blessed of my Father." They're the blessed ones. They're in the family. They have an inheritance. This was prepared for you. Come and enjoy this great inheritance. Why? He was hungry, and they gave him something to eat. Thirsty, and they gave him a drink. Then the righteous. Wait a minute. The righteous? I thought we were talking about the sheep here. I thought we were talking about the people that did good. Well, they're righteous. They're also called the righteous here too. They're the blessed of the Father, those who have an inheritance, and they're the righteous, those that love God. The righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? These people on the right, God is saying they're righteous. He is pleased with them, and he has made a great place for them to enjoy. Is it because they were great? Are they saying, oh yeah, we did that. God, we did that. I have a plaque on my wall that says that I am a person who gives to the poor and I do good things. And, you know, I did it here, here, and here, and here. Sure, I surely deserve this. Is that what they said? These are humble people. They simply cared for other people. They gave people something to drink when they were thirsty. I was thinking a lot about this statement and what Jesus' answer is going to be. But remember the situation here. If you think about the situation, it makes it even more amazing what Jesus is saying here. Who is it that's talking to these people on their right? Who is this guy? He's the King of all kings that just came in glory with how many angels? 5 or 10? All the angels that do his bidding. And he sits on his majestic throne. That's the guy who's saying, you guys, you gave me something to drink. Maybe they're thinking to themselves, him? I think I would have remembered that. You know, the King of all kings coming down from heaven and I gave him a drink. I probably would remember that. I can't remember. Can you remember it, Joe? Do you remember it, Bill? I don't remember that. When did we serve him? You know, that would have been great. I don't remember. What does Jesus say? Verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Wow. Well, I guess there was that time I helped someone. And there was that time where someone was hungry and I fed them. I guess I didn't think much of it. You know, I did this. I cared for the needy. I went and I volunteered at that one place and I did this. And, you know, I had some, when I served those people, what was I really doing? The King of Glory says, you were serving me. Wow. Pretty amazing. For the people on his right, do you think that's going to be a pretty amazing point in time? They're going to put some things together in their head, aren't they? Wow. We did those things. And God's saying, you served me when you did all that. What a great thing. At that moment in time, if you were one of those people, would you want to be thinking, kind of glad that I served a lot of people? Or be thinking, boy, I never really did that much. Oh. Probably you'd want to think, boy, I hope I did a lot to a lot of people. I hope I served a lot of people. I hope I helped people when they needed it. Because God's saying you did it to me. Wow. These are simple acts of kindness done to various people around them. The routine things of daily life. And God was there. And he saw it. Not only saw it, but he's saying, you served me. The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine. Brothers of mine. Do you notice that's another category of people here, brothers of mine? who is this? You know, honestly, I think it's just believers, those in the family of God, maybe each other. You were helping each other. I will point out two commentaries said this is probably actually the Jews and talking about how you treated the Jewish Christians during the tribulation. There will be many Jewish Christians who are like the evangelists then, and if you go and do something to help them, you're putting your life at risk. So maybe it's them, and that's actually talked about in Joel chapter 3, if this is the same judgment going on. Whether it's them or whether it's other people, Jesus is saying it really doesn't matter, but you served other people, even the least, not the higher ups like me, because he's in his glory now, you know, he's in the majestic king, and he's going to have other people that are also high up too. They might be thinking, when did we serve all these high up people? He's like, no, it's the everyday people all around you, even the least of them. Who's the least? I'm not even sure. Maybe the littlest kids, maybe the people that are the hardest to reach, the people that have the least. I don't know, but he's saying you did it, you helped them out, and as much as you did it to them, you did it to me. What a blessing that will be for them. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Remember, this is the King of Glory sitting on his throne talking to them. Again, they're going to be similar thought. When did we see you? I mean, if I knew it was you, I would have done it. If I knew it was you, I probably would have got some water. I probably would have got some, but I didn't know it was you. It was just those other people, and I didn't have time for them. They themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't take care of you? He will answer them. Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. What's going through their minds at this point in time? Would they like to go back and change things in their life? Yes. Maybe they're getting thoughts in their mind. There was that time when someone needed something and I didn't help. Maybe there was people around me that needed help. I didn't have time. Well, what does God think about that? Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Who was hell designed for? Who was hell made for? For the devil and his angels. It wasn't designed for people. It was designed for the devil and his angels. But those who reject God and don't accept his forgiveness, God says they will go there as well. There is eternal punishment for them. The people that did good, are they getting into heaven and into eternal life because they did good things? I think their life showed, the good things showed, that they believed. You know, the Bible says we're all sinners. None of you can earn your way into heaven. But they must have admitted that to God, asked forgiveness. They must have loved God and accepted his forgiveness through Jesus Christ offered to them. (Clears throat) These people did not. And their life showed it. Maybe they did a good thing here and there. But God says, as much as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. This is a big thing. There's one more thing we're going to point out, one more verse, very important here. But I want to point out, what's the difference between these people? Well, the main difference is these believe they're righteous. And when the Bible tells us to be righteous, we need to be forgiven. And God's made a way for us to be righteous. But how did it show in their lives? It's what these people did. And these people, is it because they did bad things? No, it's not that they did bad things. You know, and I know in a lot of my life I was thinking sin is just doing bad things. God says, don't do this, and you do it. Well, that's definitely sin. But I remember a point in my life when I realized, uh-oh, did you know it could be sin to not do good things? If you're not doing the good that God's called you to do, that could be a sin just as bad. And these people, the accursed ones who will go into eternal punishment, who would give anything to go back and change that, what is it that they did? Well, nothing. They just didn't. They didn't have the time. They filled their life with other things. It was too hard. Probably focused on themselves most of the time, which we all do. We focus on ourselves. They just didn't have the time. They didn't reach out to the people around them. Is that a big deal to God? Depart from me, accursed ones. Wow, this is a huge deal to God. It makes me think, boy, am I caring for the people around me? Am I giving people some to drink when they're thirsty? Food to eat? Clothes to wear? Do I visit the sick? Those in prison? Do you? Would you be the ones on the right? The righteous ones? Saved by grace, yes, but is your life showing that in what you do? Remember what you've done to the least of these. God says you've done it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment. That's the ones on his left. But the righteous on his right into eternal life. Period. And there you have the end of the Olivet Discourse. Whatever judgment you'll be at, someday you will stand before God. These people, I do believe these are people on the earth at the end of the tribulation, and the righteous will enter into the kingdom right there that God is setting up on earth. The others go away into eternal punishment. But someday you will stand before God, whether it's there, whether it's the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne. At some point in time, you will stand before God. You. Not with the people around you, but you alone will stand before God. And you will either go into eternal punishment or into eternal life. Notice there's no in between. It doesn't say there's other people. I think a lot of people think there's an in-between, and they're just hoping for the best. The righteous will go into eternal life. Are you righteous? Are you counting on your own good works? Well, that's not going to be enough. The Bible says you're not righteous on your own. You can never earn your way into his eternal life, his eternal kingdom forever. Remember, the one who said these words was Jesus. He was sitting talking to his disciples about these things, pronouncing judgment on the Jews. He pronounced judgment on many of the people during this time. There will be many people who go into eternal punishment. Wow, that's a lot of judgment. And he's the one. He is the one that's going to come down and say, you eternal life, you eternal punishment. Does that sound pretty harsh? Well, first of all, if there is going to be a judgment, would it be a loving thing to not tell people? It's actually a loving thing to tell people so they can be ready. Do you realize you're going to be before God? I hope you're thinking about that. Are you ready for that? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've accepted his salvation, admitted you're a sinner, you believe in him, that he died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead, ask him to forgive your sins. He says you're one of his children. He says you're a righteous one, not because of your own righteousness, but because of his righteousness. That's a wonderful gift of his, and you can have eternal life. And then we need to go on and we need to help the people around us, serve the people around us, just like he talked about here. If you don't know you're one of those people, accept him today. You have sinned. Maybe you think you're a good person. The Bible tells us we're all sinners. We all deserve the eternal punishment, every one of us. But if you admit that to God, you're a sinner, and believe in him, he can forgive you. And you can be in the family and inherit, having a huge inheritance in Christ. The very one who said these words, the very one who is the judge, is the very same one who just a couple days after he said these things would actually hang on a cross. He's the judge that pronounces that we all deserve punishment, and he's also the one who took the punishment for your sins and for mine and the sins of the world. If you accept that, you will be in eternal life forever with him. If you reject that, or if you simply never accept that, you will have eternal punishment. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for letting us know the truth, for letting us know that we will either have eternal life or eternal punishment someday. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he's done for us, Lord, letting us know these things, leading us in the truth, and ultimately dying on the cross for our sins, Lord. Help us all to accept that, and help us to rejoice, knowing that we will be with you someday and have eternal life with you in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name.